This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Paul, how you doing, man? Hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, for the middle of the summer, there's quite a bit going on. It's amazing.
We'll talk some golf with you because we know you're a fan of the sport in a little bit. But on Friday's Feinbaum show, you had Adam Rittenberg on, and he, you know, is one of those guys that thinks the SEC should move to a 9-game football schedule. You got your finger on the pulse of the conference. Is there ever any real discussion about a 9-game schedule? Is there a growing desire to do that among coaches or presidents or athletic directors?
Outside of Nick Saban's office, there is none. And Jim, I don't see it. And there are a lot of reasons for it. From I think their standpoint, they are very concerned. I believe. And by the way, I only speak for myself, but I'm just trying to reflect what I've heard. That it will create more difficulty filling the bowl alignment. The bowl alignment is in terms of what and the number of SEC schools that go to bowl games. So, I mean, when you add another game, I mean, do the math. It's another loss somewhere. And I think the feeling, at least of the coaches right now and others in the league, is they don't want that. I think it's easy to look at the other side. And frankly, I've always agreed with Nick Saban that 9 conference games offer many positive things, especially for athletes playing to be able to see other schools in the league. Right now, as we all know, you can go, 7, 8, 9 years and never see anyone outside of the SEC championship game. I also think it creates a degree of negativity outside the league. David Shaw from Stanford made a big deal about this a couple of years ago. The Big Ten continues to take shots, and I think the SEC leaves itself vulnerable by only having 8 conference games.
Paul, are we closer to an 18 playoff in college football, or the SEC actually getting rid of divisions?
I think we're probably closer to an 18 playoff, and I don't think we're very close. I mean, Les, the divisions serve a purpose. Maybe not if you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, not a big purpose because both of those schools are usually in contention in November. But if you're on the other side, not last year, but a couple of years ago when you had Missouri creeping along and other schools and with 2-3 conference losses, it does create a little bit of interest for maybe the 11:30 game in mid-November, where right now, if you just did away with it, it would be pretty obvious what's going on. And I don't know. I still think a month from today, when we convene in Atlanta, that's hard to say, quite frankly, coaches talk about one thing. We're trying to get to Atlanta. We're trying to get to the SEC championship game. And without that, it would be some coaches could not say that with a straight face.
Paul Feinbaum joins us each week courtesy of Crane Works for your crane and rental needs. Look for the Big Dog, a fixture on Birmingham skyline. The Big Dog's got it there at Crane Works. They bring us Feinbaum every single Monday at 7 o'clock. I kind of understand. Look, I would be in favor of 9 conference games. I applaud Saban. There's nobody that's benefited more from the current system than him, and he says, hey, make it a little bit tougher even. But I can also see the other 13 coaches, Paul, saying, why change what we're doing? It's working perfectly. Heck, we even got 2 teams in the playoffs. Why change?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the SEC championship game, Ryan, I'll never forget Gene Stallings said, this is never going to work.
Yeah, too tough. We've made it too tough. Yep.
And, you know, he had to pay for it the first year, having to, you know, win a conference championship game, even though he was automatically ticketed for the title game. And I think in the end, it's worked really well. And no matter how hard you can figure it out, and just look at the Big 12. I mean, they continue to chase their tail out there, trying to figure out what works perfectly. And I don't think they're going to figure it out. Where in the SEC, even though it looks, confusing at times, if you're a coach at Tennessee and you're taking over a program that's hit rock bottom, you have to set goals realistically. I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt walks into media days 4 weeks from now and goes, you know, our goal is to go to the championship game, and I'm not going to be satisfied if we don't get to Atlanta. But the people are going to say, Jeremy, get a life, okay? Or if he says, you know, I mean, he says, listen, that's always our goal. But as the season goes on, and if you hit six wins, then all of us start to go, man, you know, man, what if Jeremy Pruitt should be coach of the year? He's won six games with this team. And then if you go to a bowl game and win that, where if you go to the non-conference games, it may preclude him from doing that.
Paul Feinbaum with us on the Jocks Roundtable on this Monday. As you drive into work, I'm always fascinated to get your take on athletic director and head coaching relationships. It's not in the SEC, but Mike Gundy's a guy that Tennessee has looked at, LSU has looked at. There may be an SEC school in the future to look at him. His relationship with Mike Holder is very interesting after Holder's comments about Gundy's recruiting and the lack of 4- and 5-star athletes coming into Stillwater. How long can a relationship last like that, do you think?
Well, I think, Jim, you've been in the locker room probably and seen worse relationships than I have. I would say what Holder did is just simply unforgivable. And I think it proves what a lot of people felt last December, and that is that Mike Gundy should have taken the Tennessee job. It was a perfect opportunity to make more money, in my opinion, at a better place, to get a fresh start, to get away from the stigma of being the second-class citizen to Oklahoma. And I know some will say the SEC is tougher. It is. But it was a great opportunity, and I think Holder proved that. Athletic directors should be there publicly to support the coach. Now, what happens behind closed doors is their own business. They are the boss. They are in charge. But I think it's just a colossal mistake for an athletic director to say what he did. I think it hurts the program. I think it hurts recruiting. And quite frankly, Mike Gundy with 2- and 3-stars has done really well. I mean, he has been in contention for the national championship a number of years ago. He had a shot last year. And that is just a big mistake. But again, that is on Mike Gundy ultimately, because he decided to stay there when he knew the situation with Holder and when he's aware of the situation with Boone Pickens. So I know that's a long, drawn-out answer, but you know, we could probably do a show one day on contentious athletic director relationships. And I certainly want to know Bob Bockrath and Gene Stallings to be my first pick.
Paul, we know you were watching this weekend, the U.S. Open. A lot of highs and lows at Shinnecock this past weekend, but we go to Saturday at number 13 for Phil Mickelson. And just obviously a really bad look. How long do you think this will stick with Phil?
I don't think it's going to stick that long, because Phil is kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. And in the end, I don't think it really hurt him that much. Now, I think I was saying the same thing a lot of people were saying Saturday. If he withdraws, he's going to look good. But in the end, by withdrawing, I think it may have been more of a permanent stain. By playing the round Sunday, he laughed about it. You know, he purposely, and we know he did purposely, sign autographs for 25 minutes to make sure he looked like he was being good Phil. But I think in the age of social media that we live in today, it will be forgotten about tomorrow.
He is Paul Feinbaum. You can hear him every single day right here on Jocks 94.5, 2 to 6, and also see him on the SEC Network. Thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
By the way, I didn't know that was against the rules. I've done that many times.
Have you really? I mean, once you get away from me at Shoal Creek, you've knocked it back up there?
Yeah, I mean, but anyway, thanks, guys.
It was
fun.
See you, Paul. Paul is with us each week, courtesy of Crane Works.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up, looks long, has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.